Welcome to Leap Into Your Story podcast, where you discover your inner story, break down the process, and meet others who've done it so you can leap into your own story. We interview amazing guests who provide powerful insights that inspire you to get your story told. Be sure to visit our website at leapintoyourstory.com, and while you're there, subscribe and like us via your favorite social media network. Now sit back, get ready to take some notes, and let's get started. This episode of Leap Into Your Story podcast is brought to you by Leap Into Your Story course. Visit leapintoyourstory.com, where you have a guide to get your story told. I'm Victoria Anderson, and welcome to the Leap Into Your Story podcast, where you discover your inner story, work through the process, and meet others who've done it. We interview amazing guests who provide powerful insights that will inspire you to leap into your own story. So be sure to visit our website at leapintoyourstory.com. And while you're there, subscribe and like us via your favorite social media network. In this podcast episode, we're going to be exploring hope from heaven. My guest today is Alyssa Hope, a world-renowned spiritual motivational speaker, healer, and author. She'll be sharing her incredible journey as well as talking about her best-selling memoir, Hope from Heaven, which is ranked number one in near-death experience books. So welcome and thank you for joining us today, Alyssa.
Hi, Victoria. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself? We're excited to hear your story. So before I dive into some of the questions we'll be going over today, take us on your journey. Where did this all begin?
This all began when I was only 14 years old. I was a teenager, and my mother, she was going to be going through a divorce, so she didn't have the money to take me to my regular dentist to have a cavity filled. So she took me to a clinic that opened up a couple minutes away from my house. And at the clinic, the dentist, who knows if he even was a real licensed dentist, because he gave me much too much nitrous oxide gas that cut off my oxygen supply, and it stopped my heart. I had no pulse, and they were going to give up on CPR because they just could not get a pulse back. But the dentist, I was told when I did come back eventually, you know, he was frantic. He was screaming, don't give up, to the hygienist who was performing CPR on me. He was saying, she's only 14 years old. We can't lose her. We have to get it back. Don't give up. So during the time that CPR was being performed on me, my soul left my body. And it traveled through a long, dark, speeding tunnel that seemed to go on for miles and miles. And finally, at the end of the long, dark, speeding tunnel, it opened up into the brightest light. I mean, I knew even before my guardian angels, because my three guardian angels were waiting for me in the light, but I knew without a doubt, before they even told me, I knew I was in heaven. So, which they confirmed, they told me that I had an accident back at the dentist, and they said you died in the dental chair. And they said that they were sent to wait for me in the light. And they told me I was safe with them in heaven. And they gave me the choice of staying in heaven or returning to my life with an important purpose. So obviously I chose the purpose, but you know, in heaven, when they gave me that choice, they really didn't want me to go back to my life. They kept saying, that if I returned to my life, that it was going to be challenging in exchange for being allowed to come back to my life, but that they would be sending me back with an important purpose. But they said, if I stay in heaven, that I would have more happiness that I could, you know, imagine. I would have eternal bliss. And they said, if I went back to my life, that I would go through something really, really hard that I didn't even think at the time that I'd be going through it, that I would survive it. They said, but you would, because we will be watching over you to make sure that you get through it. So, and when they gave me the choice, I just kept saying, I have to go back. My mom really needs me. And I was like, very, you know, I was crying because I was only 14 years old and I really didn't know what to do. I mean, part of me wanted to stay in heaven. It was so peaceful and beautiful. But then I just felt like, how could I leave my mother? I was her only daughter. I had two older brothers, but my mother always told me how much she only wanted a girl. So I just felt like I could not leave her alone. I didn't even feel like she would get through it, you know, that she would survive it. So as I was saying, you know, I have to go back. My mom really needs me. My guardian angels, they said that there was something that they wanted to show me before I made my decision. And I actually saw my own funeral, what it would be like had I decided to stay in heaven. And everybody was at my funeral, you know, my teachers, all my family, friends, neighbors, and everybody was, of course, very sad and upset, but it was only my mother who was beyond inconsolable, and she was throwing herself on top of my casket, and she kept screaming and crying and pleading, Alyssa, Alyssa, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Come back to me, my baby. So I said to my guardian angel, see, my mom really needs me. So my three guardian angels, they said, of course, your mother will be very upset if you stay in heaven, they said, but in time, she'll, not that she would ever get over it, but in time, she will be okay in time. So, and there was a big white door. And they said, once you pass through this door, there's no turning back. Then you have to stay here. And they said, you will be so amazed at what is behind this door. So much more of glorious heaven and who was behind it. So every time they kept just promising me, you know, how I would have eternal peace and happiness, I would inch closer to the door, but then I would see my mother again, screaming my name over and over and flinging herself on top of my casket, pleading for me, Alyssa, don't leave me. And then I would inch away from the door, you know? So then I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden I hear footsteps and I turn and I look, I'm face to face with God. And I know it was God. It was not Jesus, because God said to me, what's the matter, my child? 25 years older than the pictures that you have seen of Jesus, the Son of God. So I said to God, I have to go back. My mom really needs me. And that was all I had to say to God. And God said to me, I understand. And he turned to my three guardian angels and he said, send her back immediately. And then he said to me, but I'm sending you back with an important purpose. And he said, it will not be revealed to you until the time is right. Because I was told everything that I was told in heaven, you know, my purpose, that once my soul was back in my body, that I would not remember what my purpose is fully until the time is right, because I was just much too young at only 14 to handle such a big responsibility. you know, of being God's messenger. So I said, I understand. And there's some more things that happened before my soul went back into my body. But, you know, I'm not going to say everything because I hope everybody will read it in my book, Hope from Heaven. I'll just hold it up and then I'll hold it up again at the end of the podcast. So when my soul was going back through that long speeding tunnel, I felt the hygienist still doing CPR on me. And she said, the hygienist said, there's still no pulse. And I heard the dentist was screaming, crying, we can't give up. We can't give up. Don't give up. We have to get it back. And he's saying, oh my God. You know, he's like, I heard him say this never happened before. So maybe 8 seconds later, you know, I felt the thrust on my chest and the breaths in my mouth. And then I heard the hygienist say, there's a pulse now, we have a back. So the dentist said, thank God. So I laughed to myself and I said, I just did thank God personally, you know. And the dentist, he was crying. I said, what happened? You know, I was like a little dazed, you know, and I said, I was just in heaven. I said, what happened? And I said, and when I said I was in heaven, he said, I believe it. He said, you were gone. He said, you had no pulse. We almost could not bring you back with the CPR. And then he asked me, he said, do you forgive me? And I said, I do, because I knew it was an accident, you know. So he didn't even finish filling my cavity. And he just said to my mother, who all this time was waiting for me, you know, out in the waiting area. So he said to her, something went wrong with the nitrous oxide. He said, I couldn't finish filling her cavity. And then he said, bring her home and have her rest. But if she doesn't feel well, take her to the emergency room. And I'm sure, you know, he told her that because a couple years later, I was watching the news with my mother and a story came on. A 17-year-old girl from the Bronx died the same way at the dentist, getting a cavity filled and the nitrous oxide too. She had no pulse either. And they were able to bring her back. But then when she went home, she was found dead in the morning. So, and then my uncle, who was the biggest dentist in Westchester, I told him what happened to me. And he said, I never use nitrous oxide. He said, that stuff kills people. And I was like, I know, it killed me, you know. So that was when I was 14 years old. And I came back from heaven very clairvoyant, with a photographic memory, highly intuitive. You know, I would have dreams and visions and premonitions. And throughout the years, you know, it was like things would come to me in bits and pieces of what my purpose was, but it was not fully revealed to me, as God said, when the time is right, it would fully be revealed to me, which was when my beloved boyfriend, Todd Irvin, who was a famous supermodel, and we were both separated, going to get divorced, to get married, when he died suddenly. I didn't even know that he had died yet when he came to me in a visitation dream. And he held me and he told me he loves me and will always be with me spiritually. And then as soon as I woke up, I found out he died. And it was nonstop afterlife communication from him. 2 weeks, actually a couple days after that, when it was his memorial service, he let me know. And this was when my purpose was fully revealed. He let me know in the morning of his memorial service that we're twin flames. And twin flames is one soul that was split into two bodies and share the same consciousness. And they're sent here in their last lifetime when their soul is very advanced. And they're sent here as a light worker to raise the vibration and energy throughout the world. So that was my full purpose. You know, I knew I was sent back as God's messenger to do spiritual healing. But then as Todd revealed to me that I'm also a light worker to raise the vibration of love and energy throughout the world. And my Todd, you know, he's guiding me from heaven. He comes to me all the time. If you see my YouTube channel, you will see a visit from my deceased twin flame. He made contact with me, Todd, as my angel, and you'll see the little angel, you know, on the grass and then going into the water, you know, and so many beautiful birds circling all around, you know, my angel. And it's really just breathtaking to see. And Todd comes to me all the time in visitation dreams, and he's guiding me from heaven to help me complete our twin flames mission together, you know. And then once my purpose is served here, then, you know, I will go back home to heaven and we'll merge back as one soul in heaven, where we will be with God for all of eternity, you know. And this is definitely my last lifetime here. I'm not coming back here again, you know. But it's really been quite an extraordinary journey. And you will read all about it in my book, Hope from Heaven. So is there anything you'd like to ask me, Victoria?
Yeah, that is quite the journey. You call it an incredible journey. Mm-hmm. And you weren't joking, right? So let me pause. Let me see where I want to go first. Let's back up to your earlier part of the story when you're now up in heaven and you talk about meeting God. So what did God look like?
Oh my gosh. It was so, I mean, I can't even put it into words, because you could imagine to be standing face to face with the creator of the universe, our Heavenly Father. He looked like, there's one picture that I saw of Jesus where I said, you know, God did resemble that picture a lot, but his face was more mature and he had long brown wavy hair, and he had the most beautiful, his eyes were just so, it was such a rich color brown, and it just was like so much depth to them, you know, and dimension to them. And he was wearing, and of course he had the beard, and he was, what really struck me about him, he was wearing a long white robe with, he was wearing gladiator sandals, and he had this braided rope belt, and he walked with a brown cane, and it was embellished with some gold on it. And what also struck me about him, he had such a deep, powerful voice, but it was so, at the same time, it was just so kind and loving. I knew I was standing face to face with God. And I mean, when I woke up that morning, I just thought it would be a usual, typical day in the life of a 14-year-old, you know. Thought I'm just going to school and getting a cavity filled after school. So to then be standing face to face with God in heaven, being given the choice of staying in heaven or returning to my life with an important purpose, I mean, you could imagine, you know. So it's just, and even though this happened when I was 14 years old, and we won't say how old I am now, but I remember it because I did come back with the photographic memory. So I remember it just like it happened, you know, this morning. So, and also my mom, who I chose to come back from heaven for my mother, she was the only reason why I came back here, or I would not be here, or I would have stayed in heaven. So my mother, she passed away several months ago. And, you know, that I mean, I came back for her. So that was an adjustment. You know, now my mom is in heaven and I'm here on earth. But my mother gives me beautiful afterlife communication too. And, you know, she came to me in a visitation dream. And because I had been crying every day since she died. So when she came to me in a visitation dream, maybe, you know, a week after she passed, she said to me, and I saw her and she was glowing and she was the happiest that I had ever known her to be. And she said to me, "Don't be so sad because I'm the happiest that I've ever been." So when I woke up from that visitation dream, you know, that was it. Then I stopped crying and I said, "I'm just so happy to know how happy she is." And she comes to me all the time too, just as my Todd does. And actually my mother, when she did come to me, she died February 5th. And when she came to me and said that to me, it was on Valentine's Day. So like a week and 2 days after she passed away. And February 14th is my beloved boyfriend, Todd, and my anniversary. So I said, "Leave it to my mother to come to me on Todd and my anniversary on Valentine's Day," because she knew how, you know, sad I would be, not only missing my beloved twin flame Todd, but then my mother too, who had just passed away a week earlier. So then, you know, I actually, Valentine's Day was an easy day for me then, just because my mom, I knew, you know, you just leave your body physically, but spiritually, you're more alive than ever. And true love never dies. It is endless, which I'm living proof of. You know, our loved ones, they're with us more than ever spiritually. They're just in another dimension. They're in heaven, but they're always loving us, guiding us, protecting us. They are always with us. And also our pets, you know, our dogs, our cats, they're in heaven also. And you will be reunited with them, because my beloved childhood dog came to me in a visitation dream with my beloved boyfriend Todd. They came to me together, and this was actually on my daughter's 16th birthday. So Todd said to me, "Look who I have here with me. Look who was here with me to visit you." And it was my childhood dog. His name was Shag. And Shag was so young and healthy again, you know, and he was very energetic and he kept running around in circles because he was just so excited to see me too, you know.
I have one last question. Where can we find out more about your book? Let's share with our listeners and visitors where we can find out more about your journey and the details and your healing. And what's the name of your book again?
The name of my book is Hope from Heaven. I'll hold it up. And it's available on Amazon and also Barnes & Noble and my author website at alyssahope.com. There's a link to Amazon and Barnes & Noble that you can order it on. And it was the number one new release in near-death experience books. And, you know, I'm planning on writing a follow-up book in the near future. Yes, because I just have so much more that I didn't even get to put in this book. You know, my mother, she passed away just when my book went to publication. So, you know, I couldn't write about everything that happened with my mom in there. So I plan on rolling that into my follow-up book. And I have so much more fascinating afterlife communication from my twin flame, Todd. And yeah, and I would love to see it turned into a movie as well, because a year after Todd died, you know, sometimes I speak out loud to him in heaven. And I was saying, Todd, I need you to help me get my book, Hope from Heaven, into the right producer or director's hands for a movie to be made out of it. And as soon as I said that, my home phone rang. I was in the kitchen cooking, so I didn't answer it. But as soon as I was done, I went and I checked my caller ID, and I couldn't believe it. I saw it was a phone call from heaven. On my caller ID was Todd, my deceased boyfriend's phone number.
Wow.
With the name of a famous Swedish Hollywood director, Mikael Hafström. So I knew Todd was telling me, you know, maybe that Mikael Hafström could be the right hands to get my book into, you know, for a movie to be made out of it. So Mikael, if you're listening, you could get in touch with me.
It'll be great to have you back on with the second book. And if something transpires with the movie, again, another opportunity to talk about that, to, you know, share your experiences.
Yeah. But I would love to. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, I did want to thank you for sharing your fantastic journey and fantastic insights today. This was a real treat. I'm sure my listeners will definitely find this fascinating and hopefully enlightenment for their journey and, you know, fear of the unknown after this life ends. And, you know, the new one just keeps on going, right?
It's not
necessarily the new light. It's the continuation of this one. So again, I want to thank all my listeners for tuning into the Leap Into Your Story podcast, where you discover your inner story, work through the process, and meet others who've done it so you can be guided to your journey to write your story. Remember to visit our website at leapintoyourstory.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're there, subscribe and like us via your favorite social media network. We are looking forward to seeing you next time here on the Leap Into Your Story podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Leap Into Your Story podcast, where you discover your inner story, break down the process, and meet others who've done it so you can leap into your own story. Remember to visit our website at leapintoyourstory.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're there, subscribe and like to us via your favorite social media network. We're looking forward to seeing you next time on the Leap Into Your Story podcast.